Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
What a fine day it is outside today.
You know my theory about Californians. Like, it's so funny. Like, they're always like, oh, it's so beautiful out. And I'm like, it's beautiful out every day. Like, you know, my husband who's from California, he'll be like, God, it's so gorgeous. I'm like, yeah, every day it's like this. Like, it's just so funny. Or the people who are the opposite who are like, God, it's really, really humid and muggy. I'm like, huh? Go to the East Coast for a day.
I did actually want to complain today when I went from my office to my car because it did feel like it was just a furnace when I opened up the car because it was baking in the sun at the top of the parking lot. And then I said, I need to be grateful instead of being bitchy because this is a great day.
Yes.
Ah, okay. Any highlights?
I'm trying to think if anything exciting happened this week. Well, a good friend of mine's coming in tomorrow. Friday. Hello.
Oh, yay.
I'm super excited. I know, right? I want it to be Friday. Come already. So a good friend of mine, and she's going to bring her kids. So it'll be great. We'll go to the beach. She'd have fun, and she cooks, and so I cook salmonella. Yes. So I texted her. I was like, "What ingredients should I get?" She's like, "Oh, well, you know." And I'm like, "No, I don't know. Like, I don't even know." And she's like, "My daughter likes chicken wings." I'm like, "I don't even know what to get. Like, I don't know, you know." So I'm like, "I'll wait until you come. We'll go together."
Did you ever make that broccoli dish again that you actually got? No,
one time. That was it.
So we have to have another nutritionist on the show to inspire you to cook one more meal yet
again. Exactly,
the last supper for your family.
That is exactly.
Right?
Exactly. How about you? What happened this week?
I told you I went to this house flipping seminar. Learning how to do that kind of thing because I think it would be fun to do something just completely different.
I've already
done a little bit of investing with rental properties, so I thought this is gonna be a fun thing. So I got very energized.
That's cool.
By it, but who knows what I'll do.
Do you watch those shows like the brothers and they flip and House Hunters?
It's like it's
so cool.
To me.
I think it is so cool, and I like that a lot of them just have that vision where they can kind of walk in and know, okay, this will be great, which I'm so amazed by.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be great. Really
kind of
cool.
Something to look forward to. Who knows? Like I said, I don't know if I'll actually do it or not.
Sure.
But it was a little side theme,
yes,
if you will. I can't think of much else. You know, just kind of hanging out, doing the stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that's maybe going on with my screenplay, so that's always exciting.
So cool.
That's the business of Hollywood. It takes forever.
I know. It's like molasses. It's so funny because my kids are watching Zootopia now. I don't know if you've seen this movie. It's so cute. It's a little cartoon, and they have sloths working in the DMV or like
sloths
like those little slow guys, and
S-L-O-T-H-S.
So like it's so cute, like they walk in and like there's this little bunny who's a cop and she like needs it quick and she's like, okay, I really need you to like run the plate, and he's like, how may I help you? And like literally we're like crying because it's like it's so true. It's like, you know, like, but yeah, it's like the same thing in Hollywood.
That's
things
hysterical.
Are slow, you know, it's on their time, Hollywood time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Do you know sloths come down only like once a week to go poop and then they go right back up and they just hang from the tree?
That's like me. It's like how often I poop. That's really funny. Really? I would think it's so adorable.
Anyway, all right, this show is made especially possible by our sponsor, Vantage Recovery Point. So we are going to take a listen.
Are you getting tired of trying to create a positive life with a negative mind? Vantage Point Recovery believes that the potential wholeness and well-being of our clients depends on a systematic approach to developing an authentic and fulfilling life. Specializing in the treatment of individuals struggling with mental health and substance use disorders, we believe that your journey is our journey. Call us today at 888-668-5959. To see how our program may be able to create a shift in the thinking of you or a loved one.
Thank you, Vantage. So last week, any other highlights from your week that you need to share?
Nothing else. Yeah, I do want to talk about last week's guest, though. It was really interesting because I feel like our current guest today will be interested in this, too. It's
absolutely
sort of funny.
Darlene Tipton, who has the karma cards.
Yes. So she does a website called AmazingKarma.com. And what she does is so interesting. She was very inspired by just sort of people doing the right thing. And so she made these cards and she gives them out to people if they do something good. And so she'd give like a good karma card out. And then if she saw something that wasn't so good, it was, you know, I mean, it wasn't like a shameful card, but it was just like, hey, you know, next time, kind of do the right thing sort of attitude.
Think twice about cutting me off again, you bastard.
No, it was like very gentle. It was very sweet. But yeah, thought it was sort of interesting.
Did you register yours?
No, I didn't.
Well, I actually went to go register mine and that page was down. She said they got so many hits, I think, after our show.
That's
that
fabulous.
It broke the page. So she had
we broke the internet. We're like Kim Kardashian.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, without further ado, yes, we have an amazing guest today. We're so excited to introduce you all to Mitra Rabar. Did I get it?
Exactly. Okay.
Healer and master intuitive, teacher to thousands, songstress and a songstress and a postess.
That's a cute word.
Okay, we'll call you a postess. No, and a poet of the language of the soul. Mitra is here to bring forth teachings, awareness, and joy of spirit. Mitra's journey and gift of special sight was predicted at the age of 7 by a high priest in Iran. Soon after, facing the challenges of a teen immigrant, she committed to a spiritual discipline and service through social work, thus deepening her compassion for others and paving the way for her life's work of spiritual service. For 3 decades, she has combined Eastern and Western spiritual traditions to become a teacher, a healer, and a guide to thousands from all walks of life. She has taught many acclaimed workshops and conducted blessing ceremonies, weddings, and funerals, too. Wow, that's the whole spread. Her book, Miraculous Silence, A Journey of Illumination and Healing Through Prayer, has been praised by spiritual leader Michael Beckwith, as well as Jennifer Aniston, Sheryl Crow, Giselle, I can never pronounce
Bundchen.
Thank you. And many others. Mitra's most significant accomplishments, however, lay in the hearts of those who have been touched by her. Welcome, Mitra.
Thank you so much. Hello to everyone.
We're
Hello,
so excited.
Out there. Wonderful. What a beautiful view you have.
I know. It is really nice, isn't it? Yeah.
It's a rough way to spend a Tuesday afternoon. I get to look at gorgeous Kelly across there with this beautiful smile. She always brings me joy and wonderful, amazing guests like yourself.
Oh, thank you so much. Always, always, always such an honor to be in any space that you can create sacred space.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, yes. And this all started because I heard Mitra on the Maria Menounos show, and I was just like so in love. And then I was like obsessed with her website. I was scared you were going to be like, who's this stalker, like constantly going to my website every, because she plays this gorgeous music. And I was literally like writing some notes and listening to the music. It was just lovely. So I'm super happy to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to hear that, because also my assistant will be very happy because she constantly works on the website. You know, so much love goes into it.
Sure.
When you want to do something and you everything nowadays, you have to be so much aware of what you do and you have to be so present in what you do, you know, else your message doesn't go across to as many as you would wish it to.
Sure. That makes sense.
That is totally the beauty of technology these days. It definitely has its downsides, but that is one of its major upsides.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am very intrigued to hear more about this 7-year-old little girl in you and what happened then.
So I was born and raised in Iran, and I came to the United States when there was the first onset of the uprisings for the revolution. And because I went to an American school, I had to come to the United States because I couldn't stay in Iran and go to another Farsi-speaking school. Mm-hmm. So basically at the age of 7, there was this family of brothers who were all deaf and dumb and very highly religious men of cloth. Mm-hmm. And one of them had the gift of foresight tremendously.
Wow.
And he would never get paid for it, but what he would do is he would basically either feel it or be asked to go somewhere. And he wouldn't accept it always, but he would go. So I don't know why he knocked on our door one day. Mm. And I was 7 years old and a tomboy, and I was very playing with his turban, and he sat and he pointed to my forehead and he said, "You are like me."
Oh, wow.
Wow. Did you just get the chills?
Well, you know what? I didn't want to be like him because I was 7 years of age.
Yeah.
And you don't understand. You don't want to be, you want to think, oh, he's going to tell me I'm going to be whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Sure.
And he wrote on a piece of paper that, but you have more than I do, foresight.
Wow.
And, wow.
And thousands and thousands and thousands will come. And he said other things, you know, about my sister and brother and my mom. And I didn't really, that, what made impression to my seven, because I'm not one of those who has an like unbelievable memory remembering everything.
Sure.
But the one memory I have is when he pointed to his forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And then pointed to mine, my soul understood something.
Mm.
But I didn't understand really what it understood.
Sure.
Or the magnitude or anything.
Magnitude,
yeah.
But I understood that was a significant moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was around the age of 11 when I started doing readings.
Wow.
Creating it myself. But what happened is I would dream.
Oh.
And that's happened, is the dreams would take place in the past, like 5 years ago, 7 years ago. And then I wouldn't know the people. And then when I would ask in the neighborhood that we had just moved in to, they would say, this happened like 6 years ago. And these were very monumental things. These were not like something like, oh, someone is going to have a boyfriend. Or,
sure, yeah.
But these were very dramatic events that there was no way
that you could know.
Exactly. Right.
So I started doing readings and, you know, I was very artistic. And since the age of 9, 10, I started volunteering in orphanages with my older sister.
Wow.
I had a deep calling, I really believe, since I was very young. I would always be interested in, when we could go to a small town or village, I would always want to sit with the villagers.
Hmm.
I would not want to sit with the host.
Right.
I would go where the people were, quote, unquote, the people who were serving.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And I would want to sit in their quarters. And I would want to hear their stories. And it was the most amazing thing. I loved hearing the stories.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started volunteering at the orphanages is because, you know, I would see this family who was homeless, with this woman with her children. And one day I said, oh, my mom has chicken kebab today. Come on over. So my mom comes home and she sees outside is this fat woman and her children.
Oh, wow.
And she says, what are you doing, Mitra? I said, well, they're my friends and I want them to have chicken kebab. My mom said, Mitra, you cannot. My mom is very charitable, very spiritual.
Sure.
But she said, you just cannot bring people to the house.
Right, right.
My soul didn't understand that.
Oh.
Still does not.
Uh-huh.
So I started volunteering at orphanages, and that's something very profound moment in my life. The first day, I thought I'm going to puke. I thought I'm going to throw up because the orphanage was filled with the mentally challenged, the developmentally challenged, the horrible different things I saw. And I was so sensitive and fragile. I could not. I thought I'm vomiting, and I may have, I don't recall. And it was my older sister who kind of got me together. And when I went back home, I wanted to go back, but not to that orphanage. And from then came a deep, deep love, tremendous love of service and the orphanage and anything that had to do with that energy. And then when I came to the United States, I was a forced immigrant. I always make that differentiation. I was not a person who wanted to come. I had no desire of leaving my country at the age of 17. My grandmother, who had raised me, a wonderful, I called her my nanny, who raised me, who I considered like my mother. I was 11 years in the same school, and my dream was to serve my country, to go in the villages serve, and to do theater or literature also. So my parents sent me, they said, go for 1 week. And when I went to the visa office, they were not giving anyone visas. And I say that when I do my talks, And I was praying at 17. My father took me and said, don't give me a visa, God, please don't give me a visa. I don't want a visa. And everyone who walked out, which seemed in my mind there was 200-300 people, they would say, didn't get it. So when I walked to the consulate and he said, you want a visa to the United States? I said,
no.
My parents want me to go to the United States. He goes, oh, you speak English very well. I said, I go to an American school. No more questions.
Wow. Stamped visa off your...
And I came out devastated.
Oh. Wow.
And I got home and I said, please don't send me. Please don't send me. And they said, we'll send you for 1 month. 1 month became 12 years before I could see some of the members of my family. And I lost my grandmother in that time. I never saw her.
Oh.
And so those 12 years was what I talk about in the book that I would... All my young soul did not know so much. I was in a different environment, a sheltered life. I had no idea of anything. You know, I didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. And I was in Vermont, then I was in Southern Virginia, then I was in Washington, D.C., I was in Santa Cruz.
And none of your family members were
My
with
family
you.
Members ended up individually coming in different parts.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
My parents were overseas. I didn't see my father for 10 years.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
And so what happened is then the residency, the green card, it got lost.
Mm.
I went through so much. And I was a social worker. And then I found myself every day coming to this place of sacred space. Really, I say at the doorstep of God. And I would cry and cry and long and yearn, and I would do prayers. And I knew I was very young, but I didn't understand why so many thousands of people would want to see me. I didn't understand it. I was doing readings and I didn't understand it. I remember a woman who was a therapist who was very well known. And she came to see me at that time. She was 60. I was 25. She opened the door. She goes, I don't know what you could help me with. I mean, look at you. I said, I don't know. But somehow I would channel.
Right.
And it was not me. It was not me.
Yeah.
And then at 30, I started teaching classes. And I went deeper into, I was not interested in doing just the intuitive readings.
Mm-hmm.
I was interested in the spiritual lessons.
Helping and
helping people help themselves,
and
so that's where my journey is in a 10 minute.
It's incredible.
It's
so interesting.
Beautiful.
So now I know there's different type of sort of spiritual connectors, and so do you only see things going forward, or can you connect with people who have crossed over as well?
I'm a medium also.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
But however, I am not a medium like John Edwards.
Yeah.
Or James Van Praagh.
Yeah.
I was first given the gift of intuition, then the gift of mediumship.
I see.
And, you know, I right now have, at my, you know, after doing it this for 43 years of my life.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And 34 years in Los Angeles being a guide and then a spiritual teacher, 23 years. Is I have come to this, that this information should only be given if it's going to be of a guidance, not a prediction. Big difference.
That's a huge difference.
Because anything can change karmically. Karmically. Energy shifts constantly.
Sure.
You know, you're in a bad mood, you get behind the wheel, you are in a frenzy, someone smiles at you, immediately energy changes. That is how it is with predictions. When a reader makes a prediction, they base it on
that energy in
that
the moment.
Energy.
Oh, that makes sense.
And lots of times, yes, that's accurate, but sometimes that shifts. And that's why I always say, don't take what a reader says in stone. And astrology also is a potential.
Yeah.
It is, I always say, the word of God or your destiny or the universe is so much more powerful than all of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
And even mediumship, when the spirits come to guide you, they guide you as the person they are,
mm-hmm.
based on who they are.
Right. Sure.
Not maybe always what you think or what will be.
Mm-hmm.
So I have learned that, you know, where it took 2 decades to understand and learn that. That's why I never wanted to do readings for young people,
mm-hmm.
pregnant women, or the elderly. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put something in someone's mind.
Right.
I want them to
put figure it out. Yeah.
That
sure.
in their minds. And now I'm very happy because this book and my teachings have allowed me to really, you know, I've owned it now.
Mm-hmm.
Where at 23, I was too young to own it.
Sure.
Where now, you know, so many years later, you see where you have, and you've walked it. You know, I still consistently am a student of mm-hmm. this journey.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of emotional protectors, if you will, do you ever use to sort of shield yourself at times if it becomes too much?
Well, first of all, I have slowly not been doing as much readings, okay? But in the workshops, of course, because I do some healing, I have some healing energies I've mm-hmm. been given, and I am intuitive, so that's always part of me,
yes.
right? It's like mm-hmm. I can't, it's like I'm a woman, I'm intuitive, you know?
Yeah.
It's not. So what I do is, first of all, I don't hug anyone before I see them when I'm going to do my work
mm.
in a workshop, because I am very sensitive to touch.
Mm.
And sometimes someone touches me, just the finger hits.
Wow, you can feel it.
And everything comes through me. After the workshop, actually, I'm just the opposite. I like to do an mm-hmm. embrace. I like to hold them. But not before. I don't want mm-hmm. the energies mixed.
Uh-oh. So we hugged you.
I know. I was thinking that.
But we're not doing a workshop today.
Yeah.
Why not?
I know. Exactly.
And then what I do is I always clear my hands with cold water before I go in.
Oh. Uh-huh.
I clear my hands with cold water after I go in. Many times I walk it away. I walk it away.
Mm-hmm.
And also I've known my boundaries and borders after 3 decades.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't take on more than I can handle.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I can handle and what is not mine to handle.
Mm.
Like someone will call me and say, what just happened? This happened to my boyfriend, horrific event. They need to see someone in a different specialty.
Mm. Right.
Because they are going through a mental anguish that requires maybe a different kind of
therapy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Or a psychiatrist or a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
When something so traumatic that it affects the mind and the biology.
Mm-hmm.
So also I have very much learned to say no.
Mm.
Where before I was, no, I can do this, I can do. No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is not my thing. I know what I can do and what I can't.
I am also dying to know what languages or countries were your teachers? Because you have a mixture of
an accent. Yeah.
Yes, I have a mixture of an accent. So my teachers in Iran were mostly American, but I had like an Indian teacher.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
There was British influence.
I hear the British.
A lot of people
yeah.
think I'm British, and that's because I studied Shakespearean theater for a while.
Oh. Okay.
But there's something very strange about me, and that is if I'm in the South right now, within 3 or 4 seconds,
you have a Southern accent.
I have a completely Southern accent. You will not be able to tell I'm not Southern.
It's funny because I do that too. When
yeah.
I
really?
Out with other
and
people.
I think
yeah.
it's that sponge effect.
Yes.
That
you
sponge.
Take on people's.
Empathetic.
Yeah.
You sort of almost live in someone yeah. else's space for
yeah,
a moment.
In a
sure.
space. And I do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So my and then I'm like this in Farsi too when I speak.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I speak with someone who's Armenian, all of a sudden I'm speaking
wow.
Armenian Farsi with a complete different accent. My husband says, oh my God, I recognize you. And that's part of the thing. But, you know, I was raised globally in a global, mm-hmm. wonderful school I mm-hmm. loved. And this school gave me the education and to see people from different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Else I think my entrance in the United States would have been much, much more of a shock to me.
Sure.
We're speaking with Mitra Babar, and she is the author of Miraculous Silence. And we're just going to take a quick break from our sponsor.
Were you diagnosed with a mental health-related disorder and feel stigmatized so much you find yourself unable to reach out for help? At Vantage Point Recovery, we believe that every single human being has unlimited potential that is often unrealized. While a diagnosis offers a starting place to unpack what is blocking our clients from accessing that part of themselves, we do not believe they are their diagnosis. We believe that within every diagnosis lies a seed of hope and opportunity for our clients to realize more of who they really are so they can become who they want to be. Call us today at 888-668-5959 to see how our program may be a fit for you or a loved one.
Okay, here we are. If anybody has any questions for Mitra, please feel free to, or for us, give us a call at 323-203-0815. Would you mind reading the four forgiveness in your book?
Yes. Sure.
And then I know you picked one also that you want to read.
Yes, but now they're all like, you know, your children. You don't know which one.
You don't know which is your favorite.
Yeah. So I'm going to just, I will, okay. Forgiveness is an act, a journey of steps. It takes time to understand, heal, release, and finally, forgive. Allow yourself the space and know that as you forgive those who hurt you, you will find your own liberation and self-love. O Spirit, I know not how to let go of these feelings of hurt and resentment, which fuel me at all times. I know not how to forgive. I no longer wish to harbor this pain. It does not serve me. I no longer want to keep this hurt, this anger that has coiled around me, sitting at my core, stopping me from feeling joy, from feeling peace, from moving forward. I wish to embrace love. At each turn, I wish to understand the lessons life teaches us. I wish to restore my peace. I wish to elevate. God, I know it is only through your grace that I can see clearly and find my steps one at a time into a place of forgiveness. Please guide me to your light within me so I can forgive, so I can bless the person as he continues his journey. I embrace you, O Spirit, and I'm ready to liberate myself from these chains. Guide me to break free. Shukran.
Love
Can
it.
Can I go, woohoo? No. Yeah.
It's just so calming.
Oh, so beautiful.
The
and,
words.
And
thank you.
I had the imagery of, as I was listening, it's so melodic, but I felt like I was on this beautiful ocean on this just amazingly perfect raft where I was just floating out at sea and just letting all of the negative energy in my
release.
Being just let go.
Yeah.
Just felt so good.
And you know, I was listening to you before you introduced me and you were talking about your week and going to a seminar and you were talking about your friend coming in. And, and I wanted to also say that, you know, we are in this year of tremendous transformation and change and release. But the release and the manifestation this year are really very interconnected. And you know, we have a solar eclipse on Thursday.
On Thursday. So what does that mean?
So what this solar eclipse is that it's a breaking through to a rebirth, a beginning.
Interesting.
The birth, the first day, right? And and to me, September is the pinnacle of the year of a tremendous release. And seeing finally the road ahead. And I think I want to talk about, if you give me a moment, to talk about how this affects us individually, collectively, and our world.
Yes.
You know, in a year of so much turbulence of the news, politically, the elections, our individual lives, there's been tides just hitting upon the shore of us, our soul being the shore. So as the tide crashes, we've been just hit by the next tide and the next tide. And we haven't had the time to recuperate or release. So it is that time now to spend 2-3 weeks and just let it go. Release it. Because if we don't release, it adds up on and on and on. And I always, in my workshops, I put my hands together like a clasp. And I say, if we're holding on to this so tightly, whatever this is, where is there room to enter? And we have been hit by all this, so we're just containing ourselves. We're not living ourselves.
Sure.
So we need to let go.
Yeah.
We need to fall apart. We need to cry a bit.
Yeah.
We need to do as Rumi says, throw ourselves at the gateway of love. And let those tides wash and wash until it washes off all this residue of fear, of trauma that this year, whether we want to or not, has affected our psyche.
Oh. Wow, incredible. So interesting.
So now I'm proud of myself that I turn off the friggin' news most of the time.
Yes.
Oh, I never watch the news. I can't. I'm sensitive to also, like, I just feel like it just never feels good afterward.
But you know, but the even when we turn it off, we can feel an energy because so many, we can feel it when we go into the post office, into the bank, the agitation it creates.
Yes. Yes.
You know, the agitation it creates. And I was telling someone, you know, before when you called an airline, you say, hi, how are you? They say, hi, thank you for asking, how are you? Now when you call many places or at the post office, there is that
frenetic,
frantic space. Yeah. Hello, what can I do for you? Okay, all right. Pause.
Yeah.
Pause. Technology is to serve us, but humanity is to feed our soul. We need now to feed the soul because we need to save the way this world has been. You know, someone said on a church thing I read a few days ago, the only thing that can save us is God. I believe the only thing that can save us is the light within us that has been God-given to us. We make the choices.
Sure.
So I have a couple questions, too.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm wondering, when you wrote the prayers in Miraculous Silence, did you feel like it was coming from you, or was that coming sort of directed to you?
The prayer started 7 years ago because, you know, I did, I ordained so many things. And always people ask me to write prayers. Could you write a prayer for this? The full moon, the new moon, the pregnancy.
Yeah.
So I don't remember, those prayers I wrote consciously, but 80% of the prayers I have no recollection.
Really?
Of writing them.
Interesting.
The stories I do.
Sure.
So when there was the audio, you know, which this book has an audio, and, you know, it was released by Penguin and Torture. Very thankful for that. And I had the wonderful Diane Lane, Jennifer Aniston, you know, Reverend Michael Beckwith, Billy D. Williams, Courtney Cox, Kristen Hahn, and, you know, so many wonderful people read the audio. And I was sitting in the studio, and they're reading the prayers, and I'm saying,
who wrote that?
Yeah, exactly.
Which prayer is that? When did I write it? And who wrote it? The one on depression, suicide, all those healing prayers, all the devotional ones I have no, it was like the pen was in my hand, and I wrote it through the pen. I wrote it first through the pen. And I was working on another book, and I say that, you know, and it was Jennifer Aniston and another dear person who 2 days in a row asked me for a prayer. And they said, why don't you compile these? We don't want to call you for you to look them up. I said, I'm working on another book, mm-hmm. ignoring the book I have.
Ha! Uh-huh. Amazing.
So that started uh-huh. me doing that. Mm. Compiling, putting more wow. prayers, and then that was a journey. And then sending it out to the world, having no idea why right. I'm doing that. I didn't want to self-publish. I said, I wanted... I can only do so much in self-publishing. I mm-hmm. said, let me try it.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that was such a... Me walking out of my comfort zone, facing a fear
sure.
of now this big thing.
Wow. You know? Good for you.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to know, too, I mean, how did the celebrities find you? I mean, was it sort of like word of mouth, or how does...
I knew many of the celebrities before they were celebrities.
Ha! I love that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And when that happens, it's a different experience.
Sure.
And to me, to be really honest with you, I very much don't believe in the notion of celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that I believe or don't believe, but I don't give it more power than a person.
Sure.
To me, they cry the same tears, they laugh the same things, and, you know. So I think I wanted... it to have more visibility.
Yes.
And they were very kind enough to receive it, and it resonated with them. Mm-hmm. I wanted this to resonate with anyone who read it, mm-hmm. right? And it resonated, and those who walked into it, I am eternally mm. grateful. But I do believe the prayers stand on their own merit. No matter how much celebrity you have, backing something.
Sure.
The content
yeah.
has to be there.
Absolutely. Makes total sense. Yeah. Well, I love it. And I love this book because it's that book that you just, I mean, I think Marie actually said this too on our show. I mean, it's just like you can use it in the time of need and whatever you need. And so, I mean, I'm curious too, because curious how people, I guess I'll say how I use the book is I read the prayer over, I kind of say a silent prayer, but like, do you have sort of a guide, or is it just whatever feels comfortable to you?
Well, you know what? So many people have expressed to me that they just sit with this book and they meditate and they open the path, a passage.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's very interesting. They say always the passage they open talks to them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I open it to where I feel I need it.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you know, someone passed away and I needed to read the passing mm-hmm. of a loved one.
Sure.
And I read that. And I look at the stones again, although I've done the stones. And then I love the stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people use it in times of happiness, in times of sorrow, in times of... There's a lot of happy prayers in there for graduation and
yeah,
birthdays
sure.
and weddings and joy. And then there... prayers for every day. My intention when I wrote this book, when I compiled it mm-hmm. one night, was, God, let me have this in every prison,
mm.
in yeah. every shelter,
mm-hmm.
in every AA center.
That's nice.
And in every hospital.
Mm-hmm.
That is right now really, I want every person to have this, but I love it when someone just emailed me and said, Mitra, I found this in the local library. I'm in Virginia. And I checked it out, and then I bought it, and I've been asking people to check it out. And people cannot. I mean, this is a very cheap book.
Yeah.
But those who cannot have access can go to the library.
Right, and see it.
So
yeah.
ask people, please, when you get one for yourself, get one for your charity. Get one for your library.
That's nice.
Let's create a synergy. Or books like this.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Like this. I don't, you know, I don't have an ego.
Sure,
this book.
It's just to help people
it's
and
to help
comfort.
People
yeah.
because we need the comfort.
Yes.
I like how you created it in a practical form also, so that when you say prayers for graduation, for this, mm-hmm. for that,
yes.
these are everyday life experiences
yes.
that people go through, so that it doesn't feel, for some people, I think if it feels too woo-woo or
yeah.
too far out there.
No, this is every, and you know, I did it in a non-denominational way.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I used everything, you know, non-denominational. I didn't want to go Judaic mm-hmm. or Islam or Christianity
yeah.
or Hindu. It's non-denominational. And then
sure.
there's practical guides, how to meditate, visualization. Questions people have asked me.
Yeah.
You know, how do I choose my words to pray? I think, why they ask me that? But some people want to know.
Yes, sure. exactly.
You know, and so I hope that, I know that this book is, for me, like, it's at my nightstand
mm-hmm.
and it will be forever.
Mm.
Because I love books like this. You know, I remember when I read Peaceful Warrior. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, Marianne Williamson's book, A Return to Love. Those books to me, books like that, I
yes.
just keep.
Yeah, I love that too. So again, we're talking with Mitra Rabar, and this we're talking about her incredible book, Miraculous Silence.
And a word from our sponsor, and then we will find out some more closing words from Mitra.
Do you swear off drugs or alcohol in the morning, only to succumb to the thought later in the day? According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration's 2012 survey on drug use and health, it was shown that roughly 8.4 million adults in the U.S. suffered from addiction and mental health-related disorders. Vantage Point Recovery, specializing in intensive treatment for those struggling with addiction and mental health-related disorders, has a place for you. Located in Thousand Oaks, California, call us today at 888-668-5959 to see how our program may be a fit for you or a loved one.
Welcome back. We are talking with Mitra on her book, Miraculous Silence, and she's going to do us the honor of reading another one of her passages.
Thank you so much. First of all, thank you for giving me this opportunity. I'm so grateful and so always honor this space. I really do. I never take any moment for granted.
Aww. That's so sweet.
Special, you know, synergy that's created. And I know there are listeners out there who don't feel good. Mm-hmm. And there are people someday that don't feel their self-worth and they don't feel they're special. They may have a lot of external gifts, but they don't see their internal gifts. Mm-hmm. And I want them to know that always, in the eyes of the universe and God, each person is special, no one more than another.
Well
so this,
said.
This is the miracle of God, is you. Mm. Listen, close your eyes. Open your arms and breathe, and put your hand on your heart and feel it pounding. You are alive. Open your eyes and look around and see the trees. Open the windows and hear the rustling of the leaves. Feel the breeze. This is the miracle. Life. Step out and look at the sky. Look at the stars gazing down. All around is life. All hear you, all feel you. All see you. You are never alone. God is here each moment with you. You are not seeing the miracle he created, the miracle that is you. Your life is the miracle. Your life is the biggest gift you have received. All else pales in comparison. What you are awaiting is you. It is endless what you can have. Do not limit yourself to external gifts, for the internal gifts are much more fulfilling, vast, and infinite. Now open your eyes and you will find God everywhere. His arms are embracing you and you are his child always. You are his miracle.
Lovely. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
I love your voice.
I know, me too.
So
it's so healing. It really is.
Oh, thank you so much. I just want, you know, people to know whatever they believe in, whether it's nature, whatever they call it, universe, galaxy, God, ocean, for them to know that they are such an important part of this design. And it's collectively each drop in the ocean, as Mother Teresa said.
Yeah.
That creates the ocean, and we're each important.
I just found the answer to your little London guy. Her little 3-year-old.
Yeah.
He's a handful. She needs to come over every night
and do some
and
healing.
Just talk.
Come
just
over and do the bedtime over. Stories.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Just
exactly.
To calm him down.
There's one actually, prayer on insomnia, but there's a part of it that's just about going to sleep and the calm before sleep.
Oh, I like that.
You can maybe use that.
Yes. I will absolutely try that. For sure.
You know, we've been focusing on the book today, but you also So sweetly brought us this CD,
oh,
Mitra
yes.
Nirvana. Can you tell people a little bit about this? Because you went down a rundown of some of these songs
yeah.
that
yeah.
were sang at the United Nations. And
yeah, well, you know, I love singing. I feel that it's all from the same source for me. So song to me is another form of channeling. And yeah, I have a few CDs out there. And people are welcome to go on my website. Mm-hmm. Can I give
sure, absolutely, please.
It's voiceofmitra.com or they can go on facebook.com/voiceofmitra. I have a public page and there are my CDs there, or they can go on YouTube. I have different songs, and the songs generally either are cause-oriented or have a healing effect.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and my husband has been the person who's composed most of the songs. And some of the lyrics are in Farsi, but like we say in Farsi, where words stop, music begins. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to understand the words.
That's exactly. I totally believe that.
Me
so
too.
Is your husband a music composer?
He's a composer and he's a wonderful guitarist. He plays Spanish guitar and some percussion. And so, yeah, it's a marriage of music and so much more. So,
now where did you meet him?
I met him in Los Angeles through music.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How long have you been married?
I've been married for 15 or 16 years.
Oh, and you have kids?
No
kids.
The world is
your children, exactly.
Yes.
That
you
makes
have
sense.
Lots of children, yes.
I have a lot of children, and
yeah.
I've always chosen, I've known this.
Yeah. That makes total sense to me. I feel like
I've known.
Yeah,
this. Yeah. I've a lot of children from very young till in their upper 70s, and yes.
So neat.
So wonderful. I have one final question before
yes,
we have
please.
To wrap up. This one that really so important to me. I know you touched on it a little bit, but how do you feel we can change the situation of our lives, the world, and all of this violence today? Mm. Give us one tip. To start with,
do you want me to be really honest?
Yes.
Not giving violence power.
Mm-hmm.
From song to movies
mm-hmm.
to what we read. Not glorifying violence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A big one.
It is a big one.
Yeah.
A big one, because people will see horrible stuff and then there'll be a song that's, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Or there'll be a movie that's, oh my God, and it glorifies the violence.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I'm so on board with that. Do you remember, I'm not going to denigrate the movie because I know a lot of people loved it, but remember the movie Pulp Fiction?
Oh, sure.
I wanted to be violent. I wanted to actually slash the screen when I saw how they put this sort of comical slant on this, like, horrible, horrible stuff that they were showing. And I just didn't understand
it. And it makes it look so easy.
Yeah.
And so moves on to the next moment.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like nothing happened.
Like nothing happened. And everybody was
trauma.
Laughing and loving the movie. And I was like, I must be so weird that I just do, I don't like this.
I think violence feeds violence. And I think positive thoughts feed positive thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we choose
to
feed that when we can feed so many beautiful things to our head.
That's true.
Why don't we start from that?
Mm-hmm. I'm on board 100%.
Yeah.
So how do you coach the rest of the world to be on board with that?
Maybe they can start by this month when they choose something they're reading or listening to or a movie and saying, I want a feel-good one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even if that one box office or this
book
is making billions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me choose something that's going to be easy, and soon they will be able to walk away from that false excitement. That's false excitement. You know what real excitement is? Is love.
Mm.
That's
sure.
real excitement. It's this moment. Mm-hmm. This is real.
Yes, exactly. This has been so lovely.
So beautiful.
We've been talking with Mitra Babar and her book, Miraculous Silence. Can you tell us or everybody where they can find the book and any last words?
Please, on the internet, on Amazon.
Okay.
And they can find the audio, but they can find the book. And again, please, I ask everyone to please share it in their communities.
Yes.
And if there are people out there who have the ability to buy it for prisons or stuff like that, especially as we're getting near the holiday season, please do
that. That's so nice.
Or books like this, again.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for this.
Thank
one
you.
Hour.
Thank
it went
you.
So fast.
I know, it really did, right?
And please give out your website one more time.
Voice of Mitra, M-I-T-R-A, voiceofmitra.com.
Yay. Okay.
So nice.
Oh, my goodness. That did go by so fast. So next week, oh, thank our sponsors again, Vantage Point Recovery. We're so, so honored that you are a sponsor. And if anybody is interested in sponsoring our show, we are we are welcoming of that. And you can always contact us at docandtherapist.com. Again, D-O-C.
And therapy.
Or, we didn't say it today.
Exactly.
Okay. Next week, we actually have somebody who I have known for, I can't even say it, like well over 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, like longer than that, but I just don't want to age myself today too much. Anyway, he's coming to speak to us about homelessness. He did a wonderful documentary, so he's going to come.
It's great.
A very interesting life. I haven't actually seen him in person in
really?
30 years.
Oh,
but we were
God.
Both writing a column at the Toluquin Times.
No
Mine was
way.
A Dear Dr. Deborah, and he was writing more about, you know, just like life conditions and things like that. And so he popped up, and like when I was going through my emails, and I haven't talked to him in like 8 or 10 years. And
wow.
He said he'd be happy to be on the show. So Kevin McKenna next week. And again, thank you so much, Mitra.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, dear Kelly.
Bye, Cincy.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.